This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Right. Let me update you on a couple of prayer items on our prayer list. Leroy's neighbor, Betty Humphreys, fell and broke a hip. Leroy, your neighbor?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so partial replacement coming up. Okay, all right. Angie Moore had a heart attack this morning. She just had heart surgery about, I don't know what, a couple of months ago, something like that. And yeah, it's been pretty recent. And then had a second surgery after that, unrelated to the heart, I believe. And now she's had a heart attack. So she's in the hospital, I guess. Is that right? Okay, all right. So I have to remember her. Mary Anna Cole is in the hospital, but almost coming home, so she's almost out of it. The other thing I wanted to update you on is fourth from the bottom on the prayer list, we have David Houghton. He's been on there for a long time. David had cancer. He passed away this morning. It was pretty bad. And anyway, Thursday night, a co-worker of his wife went by the hospital to talk to him, and he received the Lord as his Savior. Now let me ask you something. Can a man be saved essentially on his deathbed? Yeah, and he was. So he is actually, we were praying for his healing. He actually is healed in a way, right? Not exactly the way we were praying for, but is he not healed now? We want to remember the family. This is a bereavement, but also it's kind of a praise, right? I mean, when a person dies in the Lord, it's sad, but it's also a praise. Amen. So, all right. Let's see. Birthdays, August birthdays. Let's read these off right quick. For this week, this week, let me make sure I get them all. All right, Roger Cox, that was a couple of days ago. Lori Nash, Mildred Hill, Kim Brummett, Anthony Littleford, Larry Gallion, and Marietta Stafford. That's this week. Any more birthdays that we missed that you'll own? Anybody going to own it? Nobody? All right, anniversaries. Let's see. The Carriers and the Davenports this week. Anniversaries. Anybody else? Anniversary? Anybody we missed? No one? Oh, yes. Anniversary. The Alcorns, 57 on the 13th. And let me make sure that's not on here. No, it is not. Okay. That just means it's not on our records, but happy anniversary for... You said 57 years? Wow. That's pretty amazing. Awesome. That's great to hear. All right. Anyone else? No one? All right. Yes.
Rich has to have a stent taken out tomorrow.
You are?
Rich is.
Oh, okay. Stent taken out tomorrow. Okay.
I have good kidney stone to pass. He's got the one where you gotta go and get it.
Go get a kidney stone tomorrow. All right.
Well,
let's pray, and we'll ask the Lord to bless our time together, and we'll move on. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us. Thank you for creating it, letting us be a part of it. Thank you that you are our Creator. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. You gave your life for us. And we thank you that as we just talked about, David Houghton was welcomed into the family of God on Thursday night. So thank you for that. Thank you for the lady, the co-worker of his wife that was able to go by and visit with him and bring the gospel. And we pray comfort for that family. Anytime there's a loss of a loved one, it's a hard thing. And so we pray comfort, give that family peace, give them rest, give them hope, and just supply the needs that they have and help them through this time. Lord, we want to pray for the Galleons out in, I guess they're finishing up their week, probably on their way back, and just bless them as they've had a week out in Nevada. We pray for the stent Rich will have tomorrow taken out. We want to pray for Angie with a heart attack and kind of in an unknown state right now. And so just bless her. We pray you walk with her through this valley. This is a deep valley for her. She's had several surgeries and a lot of health issues. It's a deep valley. Walk with her through this. Lord, we want to pray for Mariana Cole, that you would thank you for being with her in her hospital stay, and we pray she'll be able to come home soon. We pray for Leroy's neighbor with this hip fracture. She's going to have a partial hip replacement done here in a few days. Just pray that would go well with her and give her healing, give her strength and courage, and just bless her through this time. Pray for our class today. Thank you we can gather together. I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ today, and I thank you for them. That's such an encouragement to me. And Lord, will you bless our class? Will it be profitable to us as we open up your word and we read it and we study it? And so thank you again for it. And bless this time we have together. And make it. May we honor and glorify you in all that we do and say today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Mark.
I think you're good. All righty. Well, as we have been privileged over the last several months to have several missionaries in, today marks the beginning of our missions month and our missions emphasis here at Buffalo Ridge. And this is an exciting time, although it seems all year long is missions emphasis around here, and that's okay. We like it. We're privileged to have amongst us Brother Eric Bowman and his wife Lori. They are here with us. Brother Eric served in Africa well over 20 years in Africa, and is now the Africa field representative for BIMI. And so how many of you know Summer Scroggs here in our church? So Summer Scroggs will be reporting to Brother Eric. I say that in jest, but Brother Eric will be the liaison for Summer while she's on the field, and they do keep track, make sure she has what she needs, and anything that they can help and assist with, they'll be doing that as a mission board field representative and director there. So we are privileged to have him this morning. I am giving him all the time. So come on, Brother Eric, and let us know what God has for us this morning, if you would. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, praise the Lord. It's my privilege to be able to be here. First time here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist, and I've known Brother Dan for many, many years. And as a matter of fact, we were in college together. I know I've looked so much younger. I know. But yes, we were in school together, and praise the Lord. And know Brother Herdman very well, and our sending church is over in Murfreesboro, Franklin Road Baptist, and so got a lot of contacts there. And that was interesting. As I came to the class this morning, as I was walking down the hallway, several of the people asked me where I was going this morning, where I was speaking in. They thought I was going to go in the main auditorium, and I started to make my way down here. And I said, well, I'm going to the Victory class. I don't know how many people said, straighten them out. What is there about the Victory class? I mean, y'all look normal. Oh, wait, are y'all okay? This fella here front and center, I don't know. Are you okay? All right. They said to make sure that we straighten you out. Is that all right?
You don't take care of Summer, look out.
Oh, yeah. You bet. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. My wife and I, just real briefly, we were raised in a good Christian home, good churches, and we both surrendered to the mission field as young people. The Lord allowed us to meet in Bible college, and I was a mission major, she was a mission minor, and she was an education major, and the Lord brought us together. Now we've been married for coming on to 32 years, praise the Lord, and the Lord has allowed us to be with BIMI now for 30 years, going a little bit over, and the Lord is blessed. We've been in East Africa. We were missionaries there in Kenya and in Tanzania, church planting there for 20 years, And then the Lord has had us return to be able to help with the home office and to be the field director. Africa is the largest field we have with Baptist International Missions. We right now have 120 missionaries scattered throughout Africa. And my video will actually be shown on Wednesday night, just to kind of give a little bit of an overview of Africa. So make sure you're there on Wednesday night in your place. You can be able to see a little bit of that, and hope it'll give you a little bit more of a perspective of the need around Africa. Now, Africa is exciting in the fact that it is one of the fastest growing regions of the world. And literally in just a few years, the fastest growing cities and the fastest growing countries, as well as the fastest economies, almost all of them will be in Africa. So there's a lot of potential on the continent of Africa right now. And we are trying to be able to, with that potential, be able to encourage the missionaries, to be able to encourage people in colleges that are praying for God's direction, going to churches just as this, asking you to be able to pray and be able to call out, that God would call out quality people to be able to go to the field, to be able to come alongside sometimes some of our church planters in team ministry, to be able to church plant, to be able to do all that we can to team together to get the gospel around the world. Amen. And so what a wonderful time to be able to be here this morning at the beginning of this missions month. And hope that you will be in your place every service now during this mission conference time. And praise the Lord for a church that makes an emphasis in missions. How many of you have had your coffee yet this morning? We're all awake? All right, good, good. Well, I'm looking at you right now, and some are wired, ready to go, and some are just staring at me. You just woke up right there. Are we based on just survival this morning? Let me get through the service, all right? So, well, we'll just hope that I'll be able to be an encouragement. Open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 10, a very familiar area when it comes to missions. I want to be able to use this as a little bit as a springboard for the lesson today. Romans chapter 10. I want to be able to help with you a little bit of what's it like to be a missionary, specifically in Africa. A lot of times, the church members sometimes don't understand sometimes what happens to a new missionary when he goes to the field. We got Summer getting ready to go, preparing on deputation, get ready to go to the field. What are some of the things that she may experience? How can I pray for a missionary? What are some things that they encounter when they go to the field? What are some of the priorities that they have? So I want to be able to make this a little bit more personal with you this morning. We'll have some interaction, and I hope it'll be a little bit entertaining somewhat, but I hope mostly it'll be informative and that God will be able to open up maybe your understanding a little bit this way. Familiar verse that we have here, Romans chapter 10. We can probably all quote verse number 13. For whosoever, aren't you glad for that? How many of you are shown this verse when someone led you to Christ? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what's that next word? Shall be saved. Praise the Lord. And that is definitely the gospel encapsulated. And what a wonderful verse that we have, in that we were shown many of us this verse when someone shared the gospel with us, and we were glad that the gospel was to whosoever. I was glad that it was to anybody who was willing to give and surrender now to the Lord, give their heart to the Lord, and surrender their will to Him, the gospel. Verse 14. How then, with the gospel there, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The next verse is specifically for the local church here. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Amen. And this is what Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is going to be doing. They're sending out missionaries. Now, Summer, there may be others, I don't know, but Summer is part of your church, member of your church, grew up in your church. She's going to be being sent out of your church as a representative of your church to the foreign field. Other missionaries may come through. You may deputize them somewhat to represent your church on the field, but Summer is going to be yours. And I hope that you will be behind her and behind the family and do all that you can to make sure that she is sent. Those verses there talk about the distribution of the gospel and how important missions is. You know, there's a lot of questions about what is missions. If I was to ask some of you what is missions, I'll probably get a lot of different answers. Some people think mission work is just philanthropy, just going over and doing a lot of nice stuff. And that is important, but that's not biblical missions. Biblical missions is carrying verse number 13, amen, to the rest of the world. And that's what it's got to be. It is evangelism. It is church planting. That is biblical missions. And thank God for everyone else that can come in alongside church planters and do all they can to help facilitate the gospel and make other people's lives a lot better all around the world. But the problem is that we need to focus on biblical missions. Amen. And that's exactly what Summer is going to be doing. Summer is going to come alongside one of our church planters there in Botswana, Mike and Cindy Haley. He's already, I believe, your church is already familiar with them. You support him. And what a wonderful family. They're going to be coming alongside and giving the gospel. But the problem is that sometimes if the gospel is paramount to missions, we need to make sure that that missionary is properly prepared. And that's where sometimes we, with Baptist International Missions, a mission agency, can come alongside the local church and be a help. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that missionaries will encounter when they first go to the field. Just the last 2 days, I was on the road traveling. I went to an ordination for one of our new missionaries, and that was exciting to be able to see them ordained now from their local church, getting ready to be sent to the field. But on the way to, it was almost a six-hour drive, and all the way back, I had phone appointments all the way through, trying to help with the missionaries, trying to be able to counsel, trying to be able to help with these issues. And I want to be able to, we need the local church to be aware of the needs and also the potential of our missionaries when they get to the field. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Primary purpose of preaching now is now encapsulated with the gospel. Now, the most important thing is we need to make sure that the gospel, if the gospel is paramount in missions, make sure it is understood. Now, that kind of goes as a very obvious thing. Obviously, the gospel has to be understood, but you realize when you go to a foreign country, I can't go out there and start talking to everyone just like I'm talking to you now. Very few places around the world understand American English. No. Maybe I have to turn on my slang just a little bit. You get me a little bit more now? That's exactly. We need to make sure that missionaries, when they go to the field, we need to make sure that they understand now the importance of learning a foreign language, to be able to, the importance of communicating that gospel. And that's one of the most important things you can do as a church, to be able to pray for your missionaries when they first go to the field, because there's a lot of things they will need to learn in order to communicate the gospel. My world is Africa. And I've traveled now throughout Africa. How many of you may know how many countries are in Africa? This is a trivia question here. All right? Any trivia experts here? All right? 54. There's 54 nations in Africa, and then there's 8 territories. The Lord has allowed me to be in 43 of those countries. Trying to travel everywhere I can to be able to see what's in these countries, to be able to see what we need to be able to do to help the missionaries in the country, to see what we need to do to get new missionaries in the country. And it's the challenge is to be able to communicate. Over 3,000 languages we have in Africa. How many can you learn? We're just struggling in English, ain't we, brother? That's exactly right. But we have to be able to learn that. And there's many different types of languages. There's contextual languages. There's tonal languages. How many have heard of a tonal language? Do you know what that means? In one country, one of my first mission trips I went to as a teenager, I actually went to West Africa and worked with a people group that had a tonal language. That means in that language, one word could have up to 5 different meanings in just the way it was pronounced. All right? For instance, let me illustrate here. Hello? 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 Do you get that? All right? They would hear completely distinct words because of the tone, the voice inflection. And boy, that was a challenge. In order to be able to greet there, you had to say, Wizo. The answer was, Yo. And all the different types of things. And I was, you know, my voice was cracking at that time as a teenager, you know, and I was always nervous about my voice will change or something like that, it will crack at the wrong time. You know, my voice will actually go up, but it was supposed to go down. I end up saying the wrong word and, you know, saying the wrong word in their own language and cussing them out or something like that. No, I didn't mean to. I'm going to say that word. I don't know. So there's a bit of a challenge in learning the language and making sure that the word of God is communicated. Oh, how we need to be careful. There's different things that we need to do also when we give out the word of God is that sometimes we have to fit the Bible terms to fit their language. And sometimes the words aren't there. All right? We have to be able to work those terminologies and be able to take the verses and put it in the proper context. I remember I was preaching one time about, and I used the reference of that, when we are saved, although our sins be as crimson, when we're saved, Christ washes them and makes them as white as? Amen. I'm preaching to nomads in northern Africa. All of a sudden, I realized they've never seen snow. The fortunate thing is there was a word in their language that actually said snow. They'd never seen it. So they're looking at me. Okay, so, all right. And the Lord just helped. I looked out we had a big mud hut church is what we were meeting, and I looked outside the window, and of course I was amongst nomads, and they had a bunch of goats and sheep and everything around the church, and that was the organic grass cutter, you know. So I was able to look out the window, and of course, there was a newborn lamb. I said, now, let's all look to the window, and let's see what that verse means in a different context. And we were able to look out and point to the little white lamb. And of course, that went right into what other verse? About the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Amen. But sometimes you have to explain those Bible terms. And once again, the gospel needs to be communicated. And also, sometimes the words are a little bit frustrated there because they have different kinds of context. Even though the meanings are there, the context is different. I was preaching one time on eternal security and on our salvation and how our salvation is free. Amen. It's Christ paid it all. Amen. So our salvation is free. Christ paid it. And I looked everything up in the dictionary, tried to get everything just right. I was thanking God that there was a dictionary in that language. Amen. So I wanted to make sure everything was just right and I had all the right words. And as I was preaching, the word for free is the word bure. So salvation, it's free. Bure. But I was getting kind of confused looks. So as a preacher, sometimes when you don't getting the right things, you kind of put it in reverse, back up a little bit, and go put it back in gear and go forward again, making sure that you understand everything right. So I repeated it and I repeated it, and I'm still getting these confused looks. And finally, one of the guys after church, he said, now, Missionary, I believe I know exactly what you were trying to say. He says, the word of God, you're trying to say, comes without cost, right? Yes, yes, that's right. It's free, yes. He goes, well, that's right. That's the right word. But just to let you know, when we use the word actually in the common colloquial tense is means it's useless. I said, well, what kind of word can I use? He goes, no, that is the only word. But in our context, anything that is free is useless. If it had any value, we would sell it. We would never give it. So something that is free is useless. Wow! So I had to really try to explain. And boy, so next time I had to preach that and use that word, I had to be able to say, yes, the salvation is free, but it has incredible value. It came at an incredible cost to Christ. So those are some challenges that we have. Pray for your missionaries. There's some of the things that your missionaries are going to have to go through. You have to go to language school. And I remember my first couple weeks being on the field, and you may have experienced some of this when you were on the field. You know, some churches will send you letters and say, hey, how's it going over there? You know, how many people have gotten saved, and how many churches have you planted and everything? And I've only been here a few weeks. I've just figured out how to ask where the bathroom is in this language. You know, be patient with your missionaries. Be patient with them. Pray for them. We need to make sure that the Word of God is expounded in the best possible way. The Word of God is paramount to now the message of missions. And we need to be sure that it is understood. Also, then, we need to make sure that the gospel is not only understood, we have to make sure the gospel is not offensive. How many understand that sometimes the gospel can be offensive? Because there is a little bit of an exclusivity to the gospel. How many gods are there? One. Most of the places we go to, they believe in a multiplicity of gods. There are spirits out there, animism. Some people believe that the Muslim god, Allah, is the same god. No, it's not the same. The Buddha, with the Buddhists going up to Nirvana and all of that, that's the same. No, it's not the same. There is only one God, the God of the Bible. And there's an exclusivity of the gospel. And sometimes that can be offensive. And that's okay. We need to make sure, though, that we present it in a proper way and let the Word of God communicate that. But we have to make sure that we present it, though, in a way that's not offensive. And that's where culture comes in. And oh my, that's where we can make a lot of mistakes as missionaries. Because, you know, we here in America, we are a melting pot of cultures. I probably was proud to ask you where some of your ethnicity is around the world, where your families go back to. There will be a diversity of places from around the world. All right, my whole family was Swedish. All right, and just a couple generations, we were in Sweden. All right, and so we have probably a diversity of people here, and we don't have necessarily a specific culture, very specific rules in our culture. And because of that, Americans, many times we can not knowingly be very offensive sometimes when we travel internationally, because hand gestures, you have to realize certain hand gestures are offensive. Even crossing your legs in some countries would be offensive. When you call someone, gesturing to them, you never call someone like this. This is how you would call a dog. That would be very condescending to someone. If you recall someone, you would do this, all right? Just a lot of different little things like that. So here's some things that, once again, you need to pray for your missionaries, to making sure that they present the gospel in a way that's not offensive. Brother Shepherd, would you come up here? I need some help.
No, he needs the help.
Yeah? You know, some things about some cultural things that we need to make sure that we're not offensive is, you know, we need to make sure that greetings are very important. You know, here in America, we don't necessarily greet, we grunt. You already did that to me this morning. Yeah. You know, and you know, that was a hard thing for my daughters coming back. I have four daughters, and when they came back from Africa, they struggled because in East Africa, it's very important to go through almost a ritual of greeting. You have to be able to ask people, you know, how they're doing, you know, how's their family, you know, how's their house. And we have one tribe, you actually have to think back to the last time you met that person. And, you know, didn't I meet you yesterday on the road to the market? You know, you have to make that, establish that relationship. All right. Very long, sometimes long greetings. That's why churches never start on time over there. Yeah. And it's very, very important. And you have to be able to do that. Sometimes you may think, well, oh, that's silly. We don't need to do all of that. Well, you just offended a lot of people. Because we are to present the gospel. And that means of doing so is making sure it's understood and it's not offensive. There's also many things in Africa that are important when it comes to our greetings, and handshakes are very important. They have several different handshakes. In West Africa, this is a very common handshake here. This is a handshake here. We'll shake hands normal like this, all right? Then I slide my hand back, and then I snap your finger, and you snap mine. All right? You need some good African sweat to get it to good pop like that, okay? All right. Yeah, y'all worked it out, yeah?
I worked up some.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to be teaching on a witch doctor dance. all right, so here we go. We have to come back, and this is the handshake of friendship, all right? There we go. Yeah, all right. And by the way, you need to be able to do that, and that's important because that handshake of friendship is what you're supposed to be doing in church. All right, you're supposed to be friends in church, right? Right, yeah. And also, sometimes when we have a fellowship time in church, and I believe the ear of God loves that.
My knees do that when I go up and down.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad to know you're on your knees from time to time. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right.
That's why I've been down there a long time. It takes a long time to get up.
God just says, you need to be praying a whole lot longer. I'm making sure that I don't bend to come back up, right? So handshakes are important that way. There's many different handshakes, but that's just one. Just a simple illustration. Pray for your missionaries. They need to be able to learn and making sure that the word of God is not only understood, but it's also presented in a way that's not offensive. There's also different things that we can be able to do, and we have to, you know, even in greetings, I could not just come up to Brother Shepherd here and just say in colloquial language here, hello, how are you? No, that would be highly offensive. He is an older man, someone that's senior than I.
You don't look it.
You warned me. So therefore, I must, whether I want to or not, I have to show respect, all right? In East Africa, age is highly, highly, highly respected.
Y'all heard that.
Yes. So in order to greet him, I would have to use a very special word. I would have to, instead of saying jambo, I would have to say shikamo. And I would have to shake his hand and put my other hand on my forearm. And I could not look at you in the eye, because to look at you in the eye would mean that I am equal with you, or I thought I would be equal. So I would have to look slightly down, and that is a respectful term. The word shikamo literally means, I grab your feet in humility.
Ooh, that feels good.
Yeah. And the response is Madahaba is very similar to that. Okay, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. All right. So every time that you greet now, Brother Shepherd now, and he comes into church, you have to kind of do this thing. All right. You have to make sure of that. They're trying to show respect, all right? Okay. Yeah, all right. And we have to be careful to do that. We have to. Why? Because we're communicating the gospel. We have to make sure. Paul says, let my conversation or manner of life be as becometh the gospel. That means everything that we do, everything who we are, everything how we act should communicate the gospel in a way so the gospel can be understood and it would not be offensive. All right. So we have to do different things with language and different greetings and different handshakes and so forth. And there's a whole bunch of other things, and we can get into a lot of stuff here, but let me just go into something else real quick. Oh, no, don't you leave. I ain't done with you yet. You know, I had one pastor that, you know, we were shaking hands. Okay, let's do that snapping the finger thing again. Can you do that? Yeah, no. And so we were shaking hands, okay? And as we were shaking hands, he told me, he says, you know, missionary, he says, I just so appreciate you because you came here nearly 20 years ago and you led me to Christ. Thank you so much. And he's, as he's talking and just sharing his heart to me and just continuing to communicate now his gratitude, and the whole time, he's holding my hand. And as we began to walk, he took my hand here and he began to continue to show his gratitude. You know what bothers me? Is that this doesn't bother Brother Shepherd. Get out of the way and shake my hand.
Hey, nice soft hand.
But everything inside of me was wanting to go, what's wrong with you, man? But you know what? In East African culture, and in a lot of culture in Africa, it is very appropriate and shows a very close bond of relationship between two men or two women is to hold hands. For me to all of a sudden reject that would have turned that relationship off terribly. Once again, pray for your missionaries. Pray for your missionaries. Things that may come natural to you is not the cultural norm to them. So
you let your feminine side come out?
No. By the way, it's been some of the funniest things to see as we drive down the road. And I got a picture in my mind, two big woodcutters coming out of the jungle. These guys are like this, all right? You know, huge, big old muscles and everything. They're cutting wood all the time, you know, 12 hours a day. You know, walking down the side of the road, hand in hand. That ain't the female side, man, I'll guarantee you. They were close friends. You know, another thing is that, you know, sometimes it's exciting for missionaries when we get all ready to go to the field and we get all excited and, you know, we learn the language and we went through all the study with language school and we try to get everything just right and we get the plan of salvation down in the foreign language. Oh, I remember the first time I was able to get the language down in Swahili. John 3:16 in Swahili says, Kwamana jinsihi, Mungu, that's God, Mungu aliupenda ulimwengu. Hata kam toa mwanawe peke ili kila mtu amwaminie asipote bali awe na uzima wa milele. Just as beautiful in Swahili as it is in English.
You want me to translate it?
Yes, sir. You can do that. And to be able to get all that down and be able to, and especially when you get it all in a track and trying to be able to present it. And here we are. Here we are now going on our first time of evangelism. I just came out of language school. I got the track and everything, and I'm going to a village. And I, many times the first people I meet in the village is the chief.
That's me.
All right? Chief, we got to give you a name or something. Chief Ooga Booga or something like that. All right. All right, so we come out, and I have to be able to greet him and make sure we give him all the proper greetings and so forth according to that culture there. But I'm going to do something terribly wrong. And you tell me what I did wrong. Let's just say, and we're going to have to close here in just a minute, that I went through all the cultural norms to be able to communicate now what I'm planning to do. I greeted him properly. And I've got a track now, translated in language. And I give him my track.
Oh, no.
I just did something right then very wrong. You're offended? Mm-hmm. What did I do wrong? We'll just pretend I introduced to you. I shook all the hands and did all of that. Can you imagine what I did wrong? Huh? You handed him something? Yeah, well, that's good. They'll like to take. Yeah?
Wrong hand, probably.
Yeah? What? What's that?
Probably from the wrong hand.
Probably from the wrong hand. That's exactly right. Most places in the third world, you don't give or receive anything with your left hand.
If you run a bus route, you'll know some of this stuff.
And by the way, to give something with your left hand would be, I would be looking down on you. I would be very condescending. And in some cultures, I just placed a curse on them. So, thank you, Brother Shepherd. I appreciate it. Thank you. You're encouraged. You just got a curse placed on you in church. So listen, there's a lot of things that more we can be able to say about culture, but I wanted to be able to make this a little bit personal with you. Pray for your missionaries. Missions is giving out the gospel. Missions is communicating that gospel in a way that they'll understand, in a way that it won't be offensive, because you know what? We always have an adversary that's right there that wants to do all he can to discourage and to turn away. May God help us to be able to do what is right for our missionaries. God bless you. Amen.